Our scripture text today is Psalm 121, and I'll be reading from the Common English Bible translation. I raise my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God won't let your foot slip. Your protector won't fall asleep on the job. No, Israel's protector neither sleeps or rests. The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade right beside you. The sun won't strike you during the day, neither will the moon at night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. God will protect your very life. The Lord will protect you on your journeys, whether going or coming, from now until forever from now. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, there's a good chance that that is not the first time that you've heard me read Psalm 121. And that's because that psalm is, when I'm praying with someone before a surgery, that's my go-to psalm. That's the scripture that I'll read before I pray. And usually, you know how this works, that there's they bring a person in for surgery, and there's a short time where there's preparation, and they get you in the hospital gown and in the bed and all of that. And then there's a little bit of space, a half hour or so usually, before they wheel you in for the surgery. And usually there's a little space then for me to visit and to say a prayer and to read a scripture. And so I usually start, whenever I pray in those moments with people, I start with that psalm, Psalm 121. And many times even the medical professionals want to hear it when I read it. And even though I've read that dozens and dozens of times before dozens of surgeries, it doesn't stop being powerful at all. There's still weight to it. And if you noticed, it's a question and answer psalm. It asks a question and then answers the question. And the question it asks is, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, to the mountains. I'm looking around, basically, is what it's saying. From where will my help come? This is a very basic question of life, isn't it? It's the question of, okay, how am I going to get some help? How am I going to fix this situation here? I can't fix it on my own. Where will my help come from? I've talked before about my dad and I have taken these bicycle trips, these multi-day trips, and wonderful experiences. So glad to have had those opportunities with my dad. But the problem is on those trips is if you have a breakdown, if your bike breaks down, you're really kind of up a creek because you're out there in the middle of the country and oftentimes help is not close. And my dad is just famous for flat tires. I don't know why. He gets a flat tire, seems like, on most trips. And on one of them, and there have been many times where my dad has changed the tube or patched the tube or whatever, but one of them, it was the tire itself, not just the tube, but the tire itself wore through the tire, and then the tube burst. And so we're standing there by his bike with a flat tire, and we're a dozen miles from where we're staying that night, and we're out in the country. I mean, there's no help close at all. Standing there, and I'm thinking, how are we going to fix this? What are we going to do to fix this situation? And so I'm on the phone, he's on his phone, trying to find someone who maybe will rescue us, and everyone I call, oh, sorry, I don't know what we can do for you. And eventually my dad tells me, he says, you go ahead and get our hotel room, and then he says, I'll see what I can do. I didn't feel very comfortable about that, but he was confident that it would be okay. And so, long story short, he walked the bike up to a little village and talked with a guy there and asked around for some help, and nobody could help him. But then my dad thought of a man who used to work for him, who lived in that area now. So he calls him up, and sure enough, this guy has a pickup truck, comes and rescues my dad and brings him to where we're staying that night. My sister drove up another bike for him so he would have a bike to continue the trip. But for a moment, my thought was, how are we going to fix this? I mean, how are we going to put this right? And we've all been there, haven't we? We've all been in those situations. You're broke down. You're broke, sick, in trouble. It's 5 degrees and the furnace went out. You've lost your job. You look in the rearview mirror. There's the lights of the police car. You know you were doing something wrong. And you're thinking, how are we going to fix this? That's the question of the psalm that it asks. It's, okay, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. I'm looking up. Where will my help come from? So that's the question. And the psalm spends the rest of its time answering it. And before I get to the answer, and I think you probably know what it is, before I give you the answer, let me say this. This psalm is a psalm for, and here's your big word for the week, liminal times. Liminality, and not lemon like the yellow fruit, sour fruit from the tree, but liminal, L-I-M-I-N-A-L. It means transitional, in between, on the way. Not where you started, not where you will end. That's a liminal time. When you're between jobs, you've lost one job, not sure how you're going to get the next one, that's a liminal time. When you're on the way, not yet there. When you've started planning, but you're not yet living into the plans, that's a liminal experience. Liminal is boundary land, no man's land, in between. Think of the Exodus in the Hebrew Scriptures. They've left Egypt 40 years wandering in the desert before they make it to the Promised Land. That's 40 years of a liminal experience. We don't like liminal space. We want to be settled, don't we? We want to have everything settled and everything kind of where they need to be. We don't like liminal space. But here's the thing. Liminal space is also a space of growth, of change, of progress. Think of some times in your life where you grew the most, where there was the times of deepest growth. I'm guessing that was probably a time of liminal space. It was a time where you were stretched, you were taken out of what was comfortable. It was a liminal space, but it was a growing space. Now, this is a liminal psalm. It's a psalm for an in-between. Some have called this the traveler psalm. At the end it says, the Lord will protect you on all your journeys. The Lord will watch over you when you're on the way, whether going or coming, it says, from now until forever from now. This psalm was used originally for pilgrimages that scholars think that during Old Testament times, that as pilgrims journeyed to Jerusalem for festivals, that these psalms of ascent were used as along the way. So in that liminal space as they were on the way, that this psalm would have been sung. Well, I probably don't have to tell you that we are in a liminal space right now. This time of pandemic. This time of COVID-19 is a liminal space for us. We're in between right now. And we don't like it, do we? We want it to be over. We want to wish it away. I thought back in March when this all started, I thought, well, this will go for a few weeks, a couple of months. Then we'll all be back to normal, and that will be that. Well, that wasn't that, is it? I mean, I spend my daydreaming hours thinking, when are they going to get a vaccine? Are people ever going to get serious about this? Will the college kids here in Muncie quit having their parties and making the virus grow? The end is not in sight for us here, is it? The end is not in sight. This is an in-between time. Not where we were, not where we want to be. We're in this liminal space. But there's a promise in this psalm for this liminal space, in this in-between space, as we ask the question of this psalm, okay, where are we going to get our help? Where's our help coming from? I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where will our help come from? There's a promise in the midst of that question. It says, my help is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, sometimes I think we Christians are guilty of just providing easy answers that maybe really aren't helpful. We say things like, God will take care of you. And I believe that. I believe that. But I say that, I think we say things like that because we don't know what to do. Basically, what we're saying is, I can't help you, but I'll say something nice that maybe will take me off the hook from helping you. Like, for example, you're broke down on the side of the road, no way to fix it, and I come along and I say, well, you know, God's going to take care of you. And you're thinking, well, okay, that's good, that's nice, I believe that, but what are you going to do, is your question. We look around at the problems that we're dealing with, the problems with racism, the problems with people spreading conspiracy theories, rather than just dealing with real problems, and we say to ourselves, we say, well, God is going to fix this, and maybe God is saying to us, I need you to help fix it. I think sometimes we give easy answers when actually work is required of us. One of the things I really like about the Psalms is they acknowledge that there are hard moments. There are not easy moments in life. There are hard moments where easy answers don't just make the problems go away. Psalm 28, it starts off, it says, I cry out to you, Lord, you are my rock. Don't refuse to hear me. If you won't talk to me, I'll be like those going down to the pit. It's basically saying, God, if you don't help me here, then I don't know what else we're going to do. The Psalms acknowledge those hard moments of life. And here when the Psalm says, the Lord is my helper. It's not saying, well, God's immediately going to fix everything and make it easy. It's not saying God's just going to snap God's fingers and make things everything wonderful. It's not saying God is going to make you win the lottery and then it's easy street from here on out. It's saying God is going to walk with us through the liminal space. When we're in this in-between, this liminal space, this neither here nor there, God is still holding our lives. It goes on to say, the Lord is our protector. The Lord is your shade right beside you. The sun won't strike you by day. The moon won't strike you by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. The Lord will protect you on all your journeys. The psalm is a promise of God's abiding presence through the journey, through the goings and comings. That through that liminal space, that God is with us, that God watches over us, that God is along with us through the journey. It says, from now until forever from now. We have a promise there. The promise that we'll proclaim through this series, that God is holding our lives, just like that kid's song, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands, you know, that God is holding our lives. And as we say, okay, yes, this is an unsure time. Yes, this is a liminal time. Yes, this is an in-between time, and we don't know how it all will end, but yet we say, God is holding our lives. And so we answer the question of the psalm, where will our help come from? Our help is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So people of God, take comfort. I'm not selling fluff here. I'm not calling the bad good. But what I'm saying is that God is with us even now through this liminal time, walking along the way, holding our lives. I still miss Maury Mangus. I think about him often. He's been gone from us a couple of years now. I wonder what he would think of all of this now. But I can still hear Maury's voice in my head. I can still picture him. I miss his hospitable friendliness. Maury had this gift of just going out of himself and making a friend and a neighbor of everyone. I went to see Maury. It was the day he died. And it was purely by accident. I wasn't called in. I just thought, well, it's been a few days since I've seen Maury. Let's go and check on him. And so I went there, and he said, well, he said, I'm glad you're here. He said, I'm fading. And he was right. He died that day. And so I offered to say a prayer with Maury, and I did. And I read this psalm. When I'd finished it, excuse me, he said to me, he said, read that psalm at the memorial service. And I did. I thought, how could I refuse his request? And I did. And I don't think I'll ever hear this psalm again without thinking of Maury. Even at death, even on the day he died, Maury could claim that God was holding his life. This psalm, maybe in a way, I'll always hear it in Maury's voice now. Where is our help? In this liminal space and this in-between time and this, we're neither here nor there. Where is our help? It's in God, who's holding our life. Amen.